Thank you, Ms. Wanda. Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, where it's really, we're coming down to the end here. 17, we see, in 18, we see the destruction of spiritual and political Babylon. 19, we'll see the marriage supper of the Lamb, and I'm looking forward to that. And also the second coming of Christ, when we come with him. And then the new heavens, new earth, the millennial reign, and new Jerusalem, where we'll be forever and ever. At this time, it does nothing but get gooder and gooder for the Christian, as we see here. But tonight, we're going to be looking at chapter 17. We often wondered about false doctrine, about false teachers and false churches, and how they go about doing their thing regardless. And Jesus is on the outside knocking, trying to get in to these unsaved churches. But one day it's going to be all over for them. We say, well, why doesn't God do something about this? Well, he does in chapter 17, right before his second coming. Spiritual harlot, the false church left behind after the rapture is judged, is destroyed. You know, politicians have always used the church to advance their power and their means. Right? Y'all agree with that, right? You see it. They'll cater to the evangelical vote until they get in there. And they always used the church. And the church, sad to say, has always allowed them to use us. Right? And see, what you're going to see tonight here, beginning in chapter 17, is a harlot religious system that has been used by politics and has allowed them to be used by politics and is the harlot church that is going to be left behind, but it's also the harlot church that is full of idolatry. And if you don't already know who I'm talking about, you will before we get through chapter 17 and chapter 18. So what we're going to begin tonight is begin to look at our first point. It's chapter 17, verses 1 through 18 is too long for one setting, so we're just going to look at our first point tonight, the description of Babylon. And we see four descriptions here in chapter 17, 1 through 6. But before we get there, let me preface what I'm going to say tonight by this is a very difficult passage. And in these two chapters, interpretations vary among Bible teachers, but I fall in the camp that religious Babylon is in chapter 17 and political or commercial Babylon is in chapter 18. Now, some see Babylon as a literal city, and there was a literal city. Some see it as Rome. Others see it as a world system apart from God, and still others see it as a city and a system. Babylon began in 3000 B.C., I mentioned some of this, it might have been Wednesday night, under a man named Nimrod. Remember the Tower of Babel when man, first secular humanists who thought they didn't need God, they were going to build a tower to heaven. Well, God confused their languages. And then they had to go around with other people that spoke their languages, and that's where you got what you had today, different languages and different territories and different boundaries. But Babylon is associated with the King Nebuchadnezzar. It's associated with Saddam Hussein, who tried to rebuild Babylon but failed. Now, I don't know. There's some that believe Babylon will be rebuilt. And then others, I just don't know where I'm at on that. But I know there is a world system apart from God called Babylon. And then some even read into it America. America's Babylon. Well, America has some traits of Babylon, but we may not even be around when this time happens here. So chapter 17 is religious Babylon, destruction, and commercial Babylon. And what we'll see here in chapter 17 is that the Antichrist has used the harlot church that helped him gain power, right? And and helped him have the worship of the whole world. But at this point here, he's going to turn on this harlot church, and they're going to be destroyed. And then God's going to destroy political and commercial Babylon. I don't know exactly when the stock market will collapse. I don't know when America will have an economic collapse. But I do know right here, Wall Street's not going to look too good when we get to chapter 18. And it won't be one that is manipulated by the other side and talking negative talk about recession. So then people begin to sell off, and then you have what you had the other day, which is all fake news, okay? And so be careful where you get your news, because there's so much fake news out there about what's going on. So we're going to look at religious Babylon in chapter 17 and political Babylon in 18. Yet they're both Babylon. And we're going to begin tonight and look at the description of Babylon in verses 1 through 6. And we're going to note four descriptions that are found in six verses. Let me read it for you. And there came one of the seven angels. Now this is connected with the seventh bowl judgment. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither. I will show unto thee judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth, and have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away into the spirit, into the wilderness. Everything okay, Jason? Okay. He carried me away into the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon the scarlet-colored beast, full of names of the blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery. Notice that comma there. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with blood of the saints. Those are the saints that got saved after the rapture. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And I saw her, and I wondered with great admiration. Now, if you wonder what that word there, admiration, means, it will explain that next week. So we're looking tonight, beginning at the description of Babylon. We see four traits. Number one, Babylon is a harlot in verses 1 and 2. This Babylon is the same one mentioned in Revelation 4:8 and Revelation 16:9. And again, chapter 17 and 18 is a continuation of the destruction of Babylon mentioned in the seventh bowl judgment. And so we see here that she is a harlot. I'm just giving you language that's in the Bible, right? She's called a great whore, a harlot. Why? Because she's not the true church. She's not the true bride. This speaks of her spiritual fornication and idolatry. And the Old Testament uses the imagery of a harlot to speak of spiritual apostasy. So what you see here is a system, a church left behind that has fornicated on Christ himself, spiritual idolatry. And this is the false religious system left behind at the rapture. Note in verse 15, she sets upon many waters. It speaks of her system reaching out upon the whole world. Some take that to be Rome. It is the one world church, the head of ecumenicalism. And this second beast will rise to power and help the first beast. And the false prophet is the head of this system. And I believe, and as we go through 17 and 18, that the false prophet is none other than the Pope of the Catholic Church. And if you'll notice in government, most of the people in your government, if they claim to be any religious affiliation, they're Catholics, okay? Now, it is this one world church, the height of ecumenicalism. In other words, we're going to compromise. We're going to compromise our doctrine and who we are, because we're not going to focus on doctrine, because that divides. We're going to focus on those things that that unite us. Well, pray tell me, if you don't want sound doctrine, what is it that you're going to be united around, right? Nothing but spiritual apostasy. So this seems to indicate a system, not a city, yet it's true that Babylon is a city and it was built on many waters and a network of canals in Jeremiah 51:13. The kings of the earth are world leaders and kingdoms. She's married to the political world and commits spiritual compromise. It is the church, the so-called church, married to the world. And we believe we always need to be separate from that. We don't take any funds from the government. We did not get involved in faith-based programs when Bush was president. We don't take anything from the world, right? And I don't have to tell you, that's why we don't have bake sales for the world. We don't have car washes. We don't raise money from the lost to finance God's church, right? God expects that to come from his people. And so the kings of the earth are world leaders and kingdoms. She's married to the political world system. And it mentions here that she's drunk. It means she has a controlling influence over them. So Babylon is a harlot, not the true church. Secondly, in verses 3 and 4, Babylon has great political power. If today you don't think the ecumenical movement and the harlot church has, that is here now, even while we're here, doesn't have great political power, you're whistling Dixie. Notice in verses 3 and 4, and it says, so she carried me away into the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet colored beast. So this is the harlot church sitting upon the first beast, the Antichrist, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. We get that from Daniel, right? The nations that are going to be involved in the 10-nation confederacy in the European community, which the Antichrist comes from. I might be wrong, but I'm entitled to my opinion. I believe the Antichrist himself will come from the country of Germany. I may be wrong on that, and that's fine. But I won't be here anyway. And the woman that was arrayed, verse 4, in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. The harlot church has forever fornicated against God. And they're going to be judged here in chapter 17. So we see that she has great political power. John saw the woman, the harlot, sitting upon the beast, the Antichrist. And that's the same description that we see in Revelation 13, 1 through 10. The harlot and the woman here are the same thing. By sitting on the beast indicates the woman will have great power over the beast until she is overthrown, and he sets up his image in the mid-tribulation period. Scarlet speaks of the Antichrist's luxury and splendor. The harlot as well is rich and attractive externally, yet unclean inside. So this Babylon is a harlot. This Babylon has great political power. If you don't think the harlot church today has great political power, you're not listening. Thirdly, not only is harlot and great political power, but in verse 5, that Babylon is a great counterfeit. Notice verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, comma, Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. The harlot church is not and never will be saved. They're being judged right here. Now, I want to go a little deeper with you, and I hope I don't lose you. If I lose myself, I've lost you. But notice it says mystery. It does not say mystery Babylon. There's a comma after that word mystery. Mystery Babylon. It is a noun, not an adjective. This is not a literal city in Iraq, but a secret use of the word to maybe speak of Rome. We'll see that when we look at verse 9 and verse 18. It's a name of mystery. It's a name of mystery. It's not mystery Babylon. Okay? Now, her name was written on their foreheads. Roman harlots wore a label with their names on their foreheads. You see, another proof this may be who I think it is. The fact that she's the mother of harlots, this speaks of her being over a family of harlots. All the ecumenical movement, all the harlot church are after this one. Are following after this one. And many false religions will come under this kind of federated church, this one world church that comes into existence to benefit the Antichrist. So she's a harlot. She has great political powers, a great counterfeit. It's a counterfeit church. And then verse number six, Babylon persecutes the saints. And in verse 6, notice that. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. How many of you remember you don't remember it, but you were taught it. Man, we would be surprised to know how many people the Catholic Church killed in the name of Christ. The Crusades, right? And it says in verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and of the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. So she persecutes the saints. She has destroyed true believers, rejoiced in their deaths, and we have a system supposedly honoring God and killing Christians. All in the name of Christianity. So the harlot is a culmination of godless systems. And John was amazed that the professing church, the so-called church, could be so degenerate, right? It doesn't amaze us, right? The Bible tells us about it, right? We shouldn't be surprised about anything we hear from some people that call themselves a professing church. And what is being taught in their pulpits, it shouldn't surprise us at all because it's all in the Bible, right? Now next week we're going to pick up with the deceivers of Babylon. This is heavy stuff, right? And next week we're going to pick up with the deceivers of Babylon, and then we'll look at our third point. What is our third point on our screen? The destruction of Babylon, okay? And then, after the Antichrist destroys the world church that helped him get power, they themselves are going to be destroyed at the second coming of Christ. Okay?